Okay, we're picking up the Gemara, Chav Ches Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom. We're just, again, in the middle. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva. We're trying to figure out how to explain what exactly they were arguing about. So we suggested Rav Ada Bar Ava was saying a whole shtickle Torah. He explained that everyone agreed that in the Mishnah, at least, of Rabbi Yehuda that said that you're not allowed, that holds of nolad on Yontiv, and that's why they hold in Masikim Meshivir Kilim. They all both agree you're not allowed to light something with fragments of a utensil that was broke during Yontiv because that's mukta because of nolad. So now the Gemara wants to suggest Medikam Matarz of Adabar Ava Libad Rabbi Yehuda. Now that Rav Adabar Ava answered the machlokas between Lazar and Akiva in the Mishnah, but they both agreed to that, meaning that that wasn't their argument. Their argument was about Shloshim and Tumnos, but they both agreed to this principle fundamentally that there would be a concept of Nolad, Shmaminak Rabbi Yehuda Svirlai, so that must imply that he held like Rabbi Yehuda that holds that there's a problem of Nolad on Yontif. However, the Gemara suggests that that's a problem. Did Rabbi Adabar Ava really say this? He seems to be contradicting this in another place. Vihar Rabbi Adabar Ava, he's the one turning out the next. The Bikas Yisrael, that a non-Jew, if he carved out a kav as a shear, as a measurement, from a wood log on Yontif, so the point of here is Masikin B'yomtov. Masikin B'yomtov, you're allowed to fuel that during Yomtov. Even though he carved out this wood for you on Yomtov, it wasn't able to be used before. So the Gemara asks, V'amai Noladu, but according to Vada Barava, if you hold of Nolad, it was created on Yomtov by the Goy, so it should be the Mukta. Should be mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you're not allowed to use it according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rav Ada Bar Ava allowed to use this? So the Gemara answers, you're right, Rav Ada Bar Ava doesn't hold of this. He only says it, Ledivrim to Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Akiva Karmalei. Rav Ada Bar Ava was only saying this, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda, to explain the opinions of Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Akiva. However, he himself does not agree with this ruling. He does not hold of the concept of Nolad on Yontif. So now the Gemara is going back to its original question, what was Machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Lazar and Akiva, the Gemara suggests a different answer. Rava Amar Ainu Tamid Rabbi Lazar Lefishe Malikim Efsila Sheinam Uchreches. According to Rava, it has nothing to do with what the Masik Meshivrei Kelim about having Nolad in that whole sugya and what is considered Nolad Shloshim Tzumtzamos. That is not the answer. The answer, according to Rava, is just simply, is this wick a valid wick? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a problematic wick because it's not mukhrachas. It wasn't singed. It wasn't lit before Shabbos. And now with rags that aren't singed before Shabbos, they don't light properly. According to Rava, it's a completely different point. It's just simply not a good wick, according to Rava, and that's the machlokas of whether it's a good wick or not. So the Gemara now says, though, but Elahad Taner of Yosef, but Rav Yosef had this braisa, which said, Shalosh Shalosh Mutzamtos. The Mishnah deals with a cloth that was measuring exactly 3x3 etzbos. Lamai Hilchosa, to which law does this refer? Because it's obviously not referring to the Mishnah, according to Rava, because our Mishnah has nothing to do with this shear of the size of the wick, according to Rava. It's a problematic wick inherently, according to Rava, because it doesn't light well. Nothing to do with the size. So the Gemara says, you're right, this brisa that Rabbi Yosef quoted was lenient tuma with regards to the minimum shear, with regards to minimum measurement for a piece of cloth to become susceptible to tuma. Disnan, the Mishnah tells us, shalosh shalosh shamru, the 3x3 that the Mishnah tells us, is chutz min amala, is for the cloth without the hems. Just to give a second background over here, that when the edge of the fabric where the threads are sticking out is hemmed down, that's right, that's showing that the size of the garment is going to decrease. So this is going to be the machlokas over here, that when you fold it down, is that considered part of it or not? So this is machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, so Rabbi Shimon starts out that he says, Shalosh Shalosh Amro Chutz Min Amala, is without the hem. And he is making the very Bishimon. But Chachamim Shalosh Shalosh Mechuvanos. So Chachamim say, no, you need a measure of 3x3 etzbos. Exactly. So meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon, the felted hem portion of the fabric is not calculated in the area in the sewn garment. However, according to the Rabbanan, and they argue they're holding that the hem is calculated in the area of the Shalosh by Shalosh, so they would be more machmir. So the Gemara was saying that this was Shalosh by Shalosh, but that's the Braisa that would answer for Rabbah. So the Gemara now mentioned that regards to Halach of Nolad of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara quotes three statements that Rav said. Amar Avidam Rav, he said three things. Rabbi Yehuda, name of Rav, said three things. Masikim Mekelim, someone's allowed to fuel fire with holy utensils. Yomtovin Masikim Meshivikim, not allowed to light it with broken utensils because that is Nolad. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that was how he ordered Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Nolad. He doesn't hold of the concept that something was around before Yomtov, not around before Yomtov, never comes around. He doesn't hold that that's Muktzah. He wouldn't see that that's a problem. Agav, mukta means something that's not designated. So if it wasn't around on Yom Tov, you obviously didn't have a designate, because it's important for the next two machloksim over here to understand that. Mukta means designated. And that means that you can't move something because it wasn't designated for use of a purpose on Shabbos. That's why mukta, let's say, usually the mukta that you know is klisha malachto le'isr, something that you, a hammer, right? I have a hammer, why can't I use it on Shabbos? Because what do you use a hammer for? You use a hammer to build things. That's an isr d'oraisa to build on Shabbos. So therefore, the hammer is designated for isr. That's klisha malachto le'isr. So different levels of mukta. Nola is another one, because I don't have it designated before Yontif. If something comes about that was beforehand, was not usable for Yontif for a purpose of mutter at all, wasn't even around, then obviously it's not going to be mutter. So that was this case over here. And he continued, Masikim et tamarim, you're allowed to fuel a fire with dates on Yontif, aval achlan ein masikim begarneim. If you eat them, if one ate the dates during Yontif, you're not allowed to use their pits, because their pits are considered nolad. Their pits are going to be nolad over here, because they weren't around before. Only when you ate it did the pits become around, so therefore that's considered nolad, something that wasn't around properly on Yontif to be used to light your fire. Again, I'm assuming that you're lighting your fire on Yontif for a mutter purpose. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matar again, because it doesn't hold of nolad. Masikim be goes in someone's allowed to fuel a fire with nuts on Yontif. Achan masikim be kubasem. If you eat it, you're not allowed to even use the shells of nolad. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matar. And Rabbi Shimon permits him all three cases. The Gemara wants to know, why does Rav need to tell you all three cases? Rabbi Yehuda says that it's usher. The Gemara says it's Tzricha. And Rav needs to teach us all three cases. Why Dishman Kamaisa? If Rav only told us the first case, the case of a broken kli, a broken utensil, then I would have come to the conclusion, Bahikav Rabbi Yehuda Mishud Mekarak Levasha Shevakli, that in that situation Rabbi Yehuda was machmir, because it started off with a utensil. Now we're discussing a fragment of utensil, a broken utensil, Avale Nola Vasar. It's considered Nolan, it's forbidden to use. Aval Tamarim, but in the case of date pits, when it comes to date pits, to Mekar, Ganim, Ashtag, Renim, and now they were pits before Yantiv, and now they're pits now. I didn't eat the outside yet because I didn't eat the fruit. I didn't eat the date fruit yet. However, once I eat it, then it's not going to be Nolad. Eilad, Shapir, Dami, I would have thought that it should be Mutter. It's not considered Nolad, even according to Rav Yehuda. So therefore, Rav has to tell you the statement that pits are going to be Usher on Yantiv. So what about, so that's the first two cases, but then why do I need to tell you the case of shells? Viash, Minun, Garinin, if Rav will tell you the case of the date pits, Avamina, I would have told you to make karma, mekasin, vahashim, megalim, because they were covered before, and now they're uncovered, so I understand why they're nolad. However, about klipe gozim to mikara miglav ashtem miglav, when it comes to the nutshells, they were completely out. You see them before Yontif. They're around. They're the outside of it. So then also ima shapir dami, I would have thought that it's okay and they're not nolad at all. Tzricha, that it's necessary for Rav to tell you the third case. The achonar abadar, it's a very good argument. Why in the world should the shells be nolad? They're there and they're on the outside. How could Rav Yehuda hold that they are usher? So some understand that they assume that it's something that's helping the fruit, and it's helping its freshness of the fruit, or over here of the nuts. If it's helping something to keep the freshness, then it has a designated purpose that would keep it there for Yontif, and therefore the designated purpose is to keep the fruit to the nuts fresh. So even by the nuts, which is only on the outside and is visible, it's still going to be mukta. So now the Gemara says, though, Vehad Rav, just pointing out that maybe Rav didn't even hold this. La beferish minim lachal etmar. It wasn't something that was said explicitly by Rav, rather it was inferred from a maisa that happened with Rav. What was the maisa? Rav ate once dates on a weekday, and he threw the pits into the oven for fuel. And Amar Leib Chia, Rav Chia said to him, Bar Pachasi, the Rav Shia usually says, Ben Gedolim, the son of a chashuv person, Kenegdo b'yomtov aser, you should know that doing this in Yomtov is going to be forbidden because of Nolad. So based on this, they assume that Rav agreed with Rav Chia, and therefore they state in the name of Rav that it's aser to burn pits from dates on Yomtov. That's where they got this from. So the Gemara says that really true. Maybe Rav disagreed with this. Kiblim menei olokiblim. Maybe Rav actually, he just was silent over there, but he disagreed with Rav Chia's ruling. And he would, although it would not be a problem of Nolad. So the Gemara wants to prove it. So the Gemara wants to assume that he did not accept Rav Chia's room. Tashma, the Chiyasa Rav the Bavel, and Rav came to Bavel one time. Oh, not one time. Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to do Kirov in Bavel, and he saw a lot of things, whatever. So apparently this was another thing that what happened, it was something that happened. He ate dates. So he on a Yantiv, Veshadu Kashaisa Lechavyaz. He threw the pits to the animals. So my love before Sasai Velo Kible. So this seems to presumably just go with the Persian dates, that the fruits do not cling to its pits, Rashi says. But why not? Because these fruits are very good, so you literally have, only you have the pits of the, of these dates. They don't have any fruit on them, and therefore, these dates we see over there, that, so therefore we're assuming that would be a shayla of nolad, because they, again, there was nothing there, and Rav, yet, from the fact that he fed them to the animals, he did not assume a muktzah. Muktzah is usher to move. The usher of muktzah is not to use the item, it is to move the item. using it also would be a problem. But I'm saying the isser, the main isser for muktzah is to move it. So the fact that he took the dates and fed them to the animals showed that he didn't hold that it was muktzah. And he's arguing Rabbi Chiyo because Rabbi Chiyo would hold that these dates are muktzah. So the Gemara rejects the proof. No, La Bar Mitzvah, we're dealing with the Armenian dates, which Rashi points out were inferior quality. And since they were inferior quality, there was some of the actual food remnants stayed on the pit. And the Gemara was saying that maybe even Rav Chiyah would agree to this din. Why? Because Hoav Achazeh Gavamaya. Because yet there's enough, if people are very hungry, they would suck on that still because there's still part of the dates that are left over. Our pits are like that also. You know, you never take a date that, I mean, you can, but I'm saying most of the time that you throw out a date pit, most of the times there'll still be some of the date holding on to it. So if that's the case, even Rav Chiyah, the Gemara wants to taina, would agree that it's not mukta. And that's the Gemara saying over here. Maybe Rav fundamentally did not say that. So the Gemara now says, now Amar Lay, so that was what we hold as Rav, that we don't have a proof that Rav rejected Rav Chiyah. The Gemara says, Amar Lay, Rav Shmuel Bar Yosef, Rav Chana, Rav Yosef. They asked the question to Rav Yosef, L'Rabbi Yehuda de Amar, Masikim Bekelim, Vedim Masikim Meshivikim, according to Rav Yehuda, who said that someone's allowed to start a fire with holy utensils and yet the Venana broken utensils, because again, it's Nalad Kim and Alek Be'aporta, as soon as someone lights the whole utensil, even a little bit, Avale Shivikim, at that point, it's going to be considered a broken utensil. And then it's going to be mukta. And then therefore, v'chimahapech, b'isurikamapech, if you're going to turn over the fire to stoke it more on yantiv, that point it's going to be usher, because the broken kli right now is actually going to be mukta at that point on. So the Gemara says, how could Rabbi Yehuda allow someone to use broken, a kli at all to burn on yantiv? So the Gemara answers, David could Rav Masna. So someone's permitted to stoke the burning utensils only if he does it like the Rav Masna suggested. What did Rav Masna suggest? Amar Rav Masna, Rav Eitzim Shinisharo Min Adek L'Tanur Miotov Marbe Eitzim Mechonan Masikin. That he held that if branches fell from a palm tree onto yantiv, so it's going to be mukta. And someone, they fell into the fire, so it's mukta right now. So he holds you're allowed to add mutter, more mutter wood that you prepared, and therefore, and add them together, and then stoke it because it's going to be batal, apparently, when you add in a lot of that. Majority is going to be mutter. We're going to hold that it's batal barov. That's what most Rashi seems to explain. It's batal barov at this point, and therefore you're allowed to stoke the fire. So too over here in a chanami, that someone who starts a fire with these utensils that are now broken, you're not allowed to move them around unless you add more mutter wood to it. So the Gemara now is going to go on to a complicated discussion now with Rav Amnuna, but discussing the machlokas again back to the Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, Rav Nuna Amar Hacha Pachos Mishlosh Hashaskina. So we're dealing with, in the Mishnah, with a piece of cloth that's less than 3x3 atzbos. So it's a shorter shear than 3x3 atzbos is a size that shows its significance. Mekulei Matlonin Shonu Kan. And the Rabbanim are discussing in the Lams of Tuma with regards to rags is a kula of here showing that it's insignificant. So Rashi points out, if it was more than 3 tefachim, then the following discussion wouldn't be relevant. Even if a person plans on throwing it out, it's still a cloth that's more than 3x3. Our question over here is, if something less than 3 can have significance and make it subject to tumah. So what is that? That Rabbi Akiva is following his reasoning, and Rabbi Elazar is discussing his reasoning, that this is a machlokas and tumah v'tahara. And Rashi points out that with regards to Hilchos Shabbos, why is this usher to use this for Shabbos? So that he agreed with Rava. He's just explaining why do they disagree with regards to Tuma. This none, because the Mishnah says the following. If you have a rag that's less than 3x3 atzbos, so this again is not something that normally should become Tameh. However, you designated it for use to plug up the pipes that they used to have in the merchats, in the bathhouse. Or you're pouring out a hot pot and you use it to hold the pot. Lekanepos or echayim are using it to clean a millstone. So again, all these things are showing purposes for a cloth that normally you don't use less than 3x3. So beimin amuchan, whether this is a type of storage that's going to cause to be called as a muchan, we're going to see what is the geder of something that's called muchan. Literally means prepared, but what would define it as being prepared or not is going to be in the machlokas and the hamshech. Uvein she'ina manuchan, or whether this type of storage is going to be regarded as unprepared. So the Gemara says that Tameh, the rag, is going to, nevertheless, no matter what, is become Tameh. That is Rabbi Elazar. That's Rabbi Elazar holds. He holds that the fact that you are using it for something significant is going to make it Tameh. Rabbi Yeshua says that no. It doesn't matter if it was considered muchan, prepared or not prepared, it's still, the rag is still going to be tar. It's not going to be susceptible to tumah, because we're going to see that this type of designation to use it for something is not going to make it significant. Rabbi Akiva says, however, if it's considered prepared, then it's going to become tameh. If it's not considered prepared, it's going to become tar. So now the Gemara is going to explain what in the world we're talking about over here. So the Gemara says, "V'amar ula v'itimber rav barchanu b'milchana kamodim zarek ba'ashpadi v'kolatar." Now everyone agrees, if you throw this rag into the garbage, into the trash, right? So that is going to, it's going to not become tameh according to everyone, because you're showing that you don't want it anymore. It's obviously not significant. Even the Menachmir over here, where Rabbi Elazar is going to agree that it's not going to become tar. The Gemara is saying, Hanicha Bekusa, but if someone placed it into a box, also there's going to be no machlokas. So that's clearly showing that you're designating or being careful. You want it to be used for a purpose. Divra Kol Tameh, that everyone, even Rabbi Yeshua, who is very Mekel, is going to assume that that's considered prepared. That's a problem. So, Nechuk Ela Shetuba B'magud, oh, Shenichul Achoredel. So they're arguing the following two cases. If someone hangs the rag on a peg, or if you place it behind the door. So the question is that more similar to the garbage where you are showing that you don't care about the significance, or is it showing it closer to the box? Just like the box I'm showing I want to use it, so too over here I'm going to use it. So that's Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Sever Midilo Zarka Bashpa Daite Aleh. Rabbi Eliezer holds it since he doesn't throw it in the garbage. It's obviously showing he plans on using it. If the need comes to use it, then he's going to use it. So therefore, according to him, it's going to remain tame. However, or become tame, susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, umai, or the Gersa changed into the Gebach, uveamai, makes a little bit more sense. And why? Why does Rabbi Eliezer use the Lashon as unprepared? It has nothing to do with preparation over here. If it's considered a beged with regards to the Sotabel to Tumah, then it obviously is going to be considered designated. It's going to be prepared. So the Gemara says, so why is it considered prepared according to Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says, because compared to a box, as we mentioned before, putting it in a box is clearly showing you want to use it, that this is considered unprepared. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that still is susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara continues now with the other analyzation. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, Sarah Marlai Nicha Bekufsa, Batlua Batla. Rabbi Yeshua holds that since the guy didn't put it into the box, then he obviously doesn't care about using it, and therefore it's not susceptible to Tumah. If he actually starts actively using it again, or putting it in the box, then Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's susceptible to Tumah, but right now, it's not. V'amai Karalei Mucha, so why does Rabbi Yeshua consider this? Why does he call a Lashon of prepared? Why is it called hanging this rack on the peg, right? Putting it on the peg or behind the dalas, why is it considered prepared? Because comparison to the garbage, it is considered prepared that you might be using it, but yet Rabbi Yeshua is still telling us kula that it is not susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, how did Rabbi Akiva hold? He uses middle shita. Rabbi Akiva, betal b'bagot sever k'mdas. Rabbi Akiva, when you hang it on the peg, he was machmir like Rabbi Lezer. That shows that that's an act that shows that the owner wants it, and therefore it is susceptible to tuma. However, nichu achorei adela sever like Rabbi Yeshua. In a situation where a guy puts it behind the door, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't think that's a stretch already. At that point, Rabbi Akiva thinks, like Rabbi Yeshua, that that's not an action that would indicate that you're planning on using it, and this rag would not be susceptible to tuma. So we see that Rabbi Akiva has this chiluk over here. However, the Gemara wants to suggest that Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah retracted and no longer said that there's a chiluk between the putting it behind the door or the peg. He thinks both of them is going to be like Rabbi Yeshua. So again, the point over here was that we see that someone, the status of the rag, what's initially designated is going to be the machlokas Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Mnuna was holding that this is machlokas in our Mishnah, and he continues. The Gemara says, "Vadarbe Rabbi Akiva lagavi Rabbi Yeshua," and now we see from the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva retracted his shita in favor of the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So that would, again, that both the peg case and both the case behind the door, Rabbi Akiva would be Mekel. He would assume that that's not considered designation. So the Gemara says, Mimai, so where do we know this, that Rabbi Akiva went back on his shita and now Paskin's like Rabbi Yeshua? Amarava mitzikhtani psilas abegad. Our Mishnah used the lashon of a wick, which is going to be made of a garment. So the Gemara asks them, my area, the tanei psilas abegad, why is the Mishnah lashon of a wick made of a garment? Litnei psilas shel begad. It should say a wick made from a garment material, not from a garment. Meaning, so that the Rashi says that when you say lashon psila shel beged, that's showing that it's something of significance. It's a larger, more chashuv a thing. And since they're used for larger amounts, we're assuming that it's made from a beged. And so what does that change? The dayan beged, or the cloth, is still something that's considered a garment, and yet we see that that should be, and yet we see that Rabbi Akiva was being makel, it's not subject to tumah. So from that fact that we see that it's going to be like that, that's comparable to the case behind the delis and the peg. And Rabbi Akiva is saying that both of them are not susceptible to tumah. Apparently he doesn't make the chiluk. He would compare that to something upon a peg which should be machmir about. He obviously was not machmir for that. So that's Rashi points this out, that therefore it's something that that he retracted, and therefore Rabbi Akiva holds that both cases, like he's going to be makel, like Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, continuing now in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Lo yikov adam shofer shel beitza." So a person shouldn't poke a hole in an eggshell. V'melo shemen v'inan al pianer b'shel shteimen atzefes. So just to give a background for a second, that someone who extinguishes a fire is an av malacha and isur deraisa on Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us in Beitza that someone who removes even some oil is going to be also chayav for kiboy, for extinguishing. So gram kiboy. So the question is, why is that? So two main shittas over here. The Tosfos hold that when you reduce the amount of oil, that's causing the flame to glow less intensely, and that's a direct partial extinguishing of the flame. The Rush, however, he says that no, removing some of the oil, that's going to cause the fire to go out sooner, and that is like a ki'ilu, for this purpose, is going to be like extinguishing directly. So our Mishnah is discussing a case setting up a situation with the light, that with the oil, that you're going to then use that oil and have a problem of potentially an issur d'rabbanan that you might come to do this extinguishing. So if a person does poke this egg in the hole in the eggshell over here, and then fill the shell with oil, and you place it over the mouth of the lamp, that the oil will drip in the cup. So the purpose that you do this is that the wick in the lamp's cup already has a supply of oil. The eggshell is going to be serving as a holder of the oil, suspended over the cup, and then you're going to again put it there. The Rabbanan make this usur, such a lamp usur, because you're going to use that oil from the eggshell, and then the oil is designated as part of the lamp's fuel supply. Removing it would again maybe potentially part of this issue of kiboy, of extinguishing it. That was where over here. And then the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Oh, afilu shel cheres, even if this thing that you're using to hold it is made of earthenware, of cheres, which Rashi points out is going to smell very bad and it's not good, the Rabbanan are still concerned that someone's going to use a supply of oil and therefore remove it, and that would be still the Isser d'Oraisa. Rabbi Yehuda, in the situation of klei cheres, says matir, that is not going to be aser. Aval im chir ba yotzer metchila mutter. However, if the craftsman, who in this case is the potter over here, is attaching the bottom part, like the reservoir they're using, if he's attaching that, in its use is going to be permitted even according to Rabbanan Neshuk Kliachad, because the lamp is going to be one single unit, one vessel. Rashi says that would be, I guess, like a heker. Person Badila Mine from Isser Shabbos is going to remove himself from the Isser Daraisa violating Shabbos. He'll recognize that there was an Isser over here. So the Mishnah could use another case. Lo yimela adam kara shel shem, a person should fill a bowl with oil, v'yitena b'tzad aner, and place it beside a lamp, v'yitena rosh ha-psila b'socha b'shol shetei sho'eves, and put the unlit part of the wick into the bowl so that it will draw in the oil to the bowl at the end of the wick. Rabbi Yehuda Matar, it's very similar to what we just mentioned before, very similar to a two-piece thing that we're afraid you're going to take the oil and take it out, and Rabbi Yehuda says in this situation, it would be mutter, he's not holding of the dindar abanan. So the Gemara now asks, why do I need both cases? So the Gemara, Tzricha, what? Really, three cases. The Gemara says, why do I need all of them? Diyash min shofer shel beitza, if I only taught you in the case of the eggshell, beha kam Rabbanan, only in that case alone, the Rabbanan said that you have to be machmir to kevan de la ma'isa, because the eggshell is not, it's not disgusting, it doesn't smell bad, the oil is not in a bad state. However, aisla sukaminei, person is going to use it. However, ava klecheres, shel cheres, the ma'isa, in a situation where the earthenware, we mentioned that case is terrible, even there, maybe Rabbi, they would agree to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't have a situation, he's not gozer on that din, so we have to teach you the Rabbanan say, no, we are gozer, v'yash min shel cheres, and if the Mishnah taught you only the case of earthenware, which smells terrible, I would have thought, only that case Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, is mekel rather. Avabai, in the situation of the eggshell, he would agree, and Rabbanan, he would agree to Rabbanan, therefore I need those first two cases. What about the third ruling? Why do I need the third case? If I only taught you these first two cases, only these two cases, Rabbi Yehuda said his ruling, Lekula, where he was lenient, because there's nothing in between the two of them. Okay, and of a ka'ara de misaka, in a situation where you have a bowl placed besides the lamp where the space is in between them, the imam mid rabbanan, maybe that's a situation where Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that type of thing is going to be an issur rabbanan, because you definitely would come to take the oil. If the Mishnah only taught you that case of the bowl where there's a case of two of them, then I would have thought on the rabbanan side, only that situation and rabbanan are going to be masmir. The situation, the two cases, the eggshell and the klicheres, in the earthenware, I would have thought that the appear one as one kli, then I would have thought imam odar, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they'd agree with Rabbi Yehuda's psak katricha. Now I need to teach you all three cases, and that's why the Mishnah has to teach you all of them. So the Gemara says now, v'im chibra yotzer metchila mutter, analyzing the Mishnah, if a person, the craftsman, attached them initially, it's going to be permitted. The Gemara says that this seems to be a steer at the following price, tana im chibra besida v'charis is mutter. If the guy, the owner of the lamp himself does it, it's going to be enough to make it one kli. However, v'ana yotzer tana, however the Mishnah seems to say davka, someone who's professional, a craftsman, is the one who's making, the potter is doing it, not a regular guy. How could the Braisa allow a regular guy to do it? So the Gemara says, Ma'an Yotzer, when the Mishnah says a potter, Ke'en Yotzer. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be that the guy is a craftsman, a potter doing it. Rather, it needs to be that it was done with the work of a potter, that you do it very well and make it mamish like one kli, then it would be mutter. So the Gemara now says, Tanya, Amar Biyuda, Pa Machash Besinu Baleas Bes Nitza Belud. One time we were spending Shabbos in the chambers of Lud, the Vilan Shafer Shal Beitza, and on Shabbos they brought us an eggshell, Malena Shemin Akvu, Venichu Apia Ner. And we filled it with oil, and we popped it open, and we placed it in the mouth of the lamp. By Hashem, Rabbi Tarfon is a king of the Moshe Navar. Rabbi Tarfon, the Chumra there, and they didn't say anything. But yet the Mishnah seemed to say over here that it was Aser. So they responded to them, Hashem, Raya, Shana Beis Nizza, no, there's no Raya from over there. They were very careful in Beis Nizza. All the Chachamim over there, obviously no one had to be Choshes. There was a Kash over there, so Rabbi Moshe asked, I was excited someone see it. Well, I'll discuss later, but I don't have time for the Teretz. But why should it matter that the Chachamim were there? If we have Xerah Chazal, then obviously there's no difference if you're Zaris or not Zaris. We don't make a low plug. That's like number one ABCs of Gzerah, is that we make it for everyone. If you're a rabbi, if the greatest Talmud Chacham, you have to keep it. Okay, that's a shaila. Now, for now, you can look at the Dibros Moshe. He has a teresis. Avin Sipura Gadar Savsela Belusav Shesha. Discussing the dinim of making Gzerah, the Gemara kind of Agav mentions a case of dragging a bench. We mentioned many times that there's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, but fundamentally with the Darvash and Uskavin, when you're doing something that might lead to malacha that you don't even care about. The classic example is actually going to be this: is dragging a bench in a field. If I drag a bench in a field, it might come to create a ditch, create a farah, which is an ister. The rice of Mashva Gumo, so making a furrow in the ground. However, my purpose is dragging the bench from one end, point A to point B. So if it might create this furrow, is it going to be an Issur D'oraisa or not? Rabbi Shimon holds that it's mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's usher. So the Gemara on that note mentions the Elam Rabbi Yitzchak, he was dragging a bench in a marble area. So marble is obviously, there's no shaila, marble is hard surface, you're not going to have any issues over here. So he was still doing this, Amar Leit, to which he responded, and Rabbi Yitzchak, he said to him, Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm silent to you like the Chachamim were silent to Rabbi Yehuda, Nafik mene churba, a destruction is going to come out of this silence. Gzira alias of the shesha to alias of the amma. He thought we have to. He obviously held like Rabbi Yehuda that dragging a bench on a field is usher. So he says that we have to issue a decree also for marble, even though it's hard surface. Even in that situation, mitzad atu, the unpaved chamber where dragging it could create a furrow. So we're going to make the gzira. So the Gemara continues. Reish kanishta debatzrei gar sasal elim Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba. So the Rashi says there was a gabai of the shul, like the guy who checked, make sure all the seats are good and everything like that. Others say that no, maybe it's a very chashuv position. Okay, whatever it is, there's someone who's doing it in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba responded to him. Come on, who do you hold like here, Rabbi Shimon? Do you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who we mentioned before? He permits dragging a bench on Shabbos. Imad Rabbi Shimon Bigdolim. When does Rabbi Shimon say this halacha? Only with large objects, the left shoulder, because it's impossible to take it without dragging, because you can't carry it. But you have a small bench. Why don't you just carry it? Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that it's like hutra. That's totally okay. So the Gemara says Upliga to Ula, and Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation is arguing Ula. Damar Ula Machlokas Bektana. No, the Dafka the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is regards to small object, aval begdolim dibrei hakol mutter. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, in large objects, everyone would agree that it's permissible. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shimon would say that it's usher on small objects. Okay, so that's what Gemara says. Now, Gemara says, Meisi, Rabbi Yosef, Rakasha, and both shitas. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Gore, Adamita, Kisa, Vesasar. Rabbi Shimon says, someone's allowed to drag a bed, a chair, and a bench across the ground on Shabbos. As long as you don't try to make a ditch to make a furrow. So the Gemara says now, Katani Gdolim, Katani Ktani, Rabbi Shimon taught you both the lach of a large object, a bed, and he taught you a chair. Kasha Tabaya, this is a difficult for Yirmiyah Bar Abba and Ula. So according to Yirmiyah Bar Abba, I understand why it's difficult, because he said a small object, which is a chair. So why is it, according to Ula, what's the problem here? Because according to Ula, Rashi points out that Rabbi Yehuda was stressing that if according to you that it's mutter, then why does Rabbi Shimon have to stress that a large object is going to be mutter to carry? It sounds like he's coming, lafuke, coming to exclude another shita. So the Gemara now says, Ula mataritz latayme, Rabbi Yehuda mataritz latayme. Ula would explain according to his shita, and Rabbi Yehuda would explain according to his shita. Ulamatar at the time, he's going to explain the price according to his opinion. Mita dumya de kise. The bed mentioned by Rabbi Shimon is similar to the chair. Just as the one is the small object, right? The chair is a small one. So to the bed they were discussing, not every bed is created equal. This bed was a small bed. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda at the time is explaining his reasoning also. Kise dumya de mita. The chair mentioned Rabbi Shimon is similar to a bed. Just as the latter is a large object, so too, the former one is also referring to a large object. The Gemara now says, though, Mesiv Rabba Mocher Ksus Mocher Gedarkan, that someone who's selling shatnes, he's allowed to, or general things that may have shatnes, allowed to sell them in a usual manner. If he's not intended during the summer to use it to protect himself from the sun, or the rainy season to wear this, like, let's say, a raincoat, to use it as the cold. That's Nuin Mashilin Makal Achreim. And people who are Machmir would be careful to put on a stick behind them and not show the people how to do it. But Gemara now says, in the situation over here, this mishnah of selling the shatnez, can't everyone do like the tznuin and be machmir and to put in a stick behind them? Yet Rabbi Shimon says explicitly it's mutter. So doesn't it seem to be against the shita that says that only where it's not mutter it should be okay? So the Gemara says that's actually true. That's a good point. Tiyufta, Rabbi Yirmiyah, tiyufta. That's a double tiyufta. That Rabbi Shimon does allow you to do it, even in a situation where you could do it another way, meaning the small bench you're allowed to carry. Davar Shemaskin is heter gamer lechadchila. Just agav. This is a really important mishnah for why it's mutter for a person to try on a suit that he is very choshish might have shatnez. There are a lot of other ramifications why you could be machmer. I'm just pointing out that this is actually the source for the reason to be mekil, because if you're not having kavana to wear it for levisha and you're just trying on the suit and you don't just want to know the size, then there might be a heter, even if you know there is a good chance there might be shatnez. Again, not giving all that term now, there is definitely room to be machmer. It's a much more complicated thing than I'm saying, but this is the source for the heter. Okay, outcome for today.